You're listening to your MBA podcast with Larry O'Brien. Wait.
He's still alive.
Okay, scratch that. You're listening to your MBA podcast with David and Kay.
Classic edition.
We're back, Kay. It's a throwback.
Your favorite podcast is favorite podcast, right?
We're very flexible with the name, okay? You just type in anything. Just type in David and Kane. Please try to search for us. Look, Kane, I looked at a running sheet. It had no topics. And you said, Dave, I just want to talk. Let's just talk.
Let's just talk.
How are you, Kane?
It's been a while.
How are you mentally?
Yeah.
Same. Give me your mental health status.
I kind of checked out. I got to be honest. I think initially, I don't know when we last chatted, but I think at least in text messages, I was complaining or I was having some type of emotional breakdown where every single day was a new piece of drama. And every day I woke up and I had to go check ESPN. I had to go, you know, go and Bleacher Report and see what the latest notification is, what the latest red alarm emoji is. I just had to stay up to date. And that lasted maybe 2 weeks. Just me constantly every single day checking the news. But just after a while, and I think this is a pretty common sentiment, is that after a while it just became so stagnant that you just like, whatever, I just want something to happen. Whatever happens, either Kevin Durant leaves or Kyrie Irving leaves or they commit to staying or something, I just want some concrete news. And fast forward 2 months later and it's still the same situation where Kevin Durant still wants out, Kyrie is, I mean, I think it's MIA. And Ben Simmons is like the biggest Nets fan in the history of...
The biggest Nets fan as in on the bench, right? On the bench watching the Nets. That's what you mean.
Well, I mean, it was interesting. Okay, so I also started watching First Take again, like just really recently. And Stephen A. Said in his, because they're talking about the Nets again. Stephen A. said that he actually talked to... Stephen A spoke with Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons assured him that he will be back 100% he'll be back
in Atlanta
in a Nets uniform in Atlanta at the pro-am. He'll be back to 100%, and he's gonna try shooting a bit more. He's gonna get in there, get in the paint, rebound, do the tough guy stuff. He's gonna show that his back is 100%. His back and his brain is 100% correct.
I think this has been one of the strangest off seasons I can remember in recent memory.
It's not only been the strangest, it's also been like the least eventful.
I guess we were spoiled in the last couple of seasons when I felt like almost the off season was more exciting than the regular season in some aspects. Just because, remember that 1 year, maybe 2 years ago, when like literally in the off season, like 40% of the players moved.
I'm thinking of Kawhi as also Kawhi when Kawhi was making his free agency decision, and the entire league stopped to wait until Kawhi chose his team, and then as soon as that happened. I think Paul George got traded, Russell Westbrook got traded, like all these like dominoes fell. But I think in this time, this year, the same situation where the entire league were just frothing at the mouth to get Kevin Durant, and everyone wanted to keep the assets because they didn't want to lose. Like Atlanta, when they traded for DeJounte Murray, sure, they're happy now, but at the time they must have been kicking themselves. Like, what? We could have just waited like a couple of days and we would have had a shot at Kevin Durant. Like, what the hell? Why I didn't get the memo?
See, I've heard that as well. Like, some of the teams, they would have just waited. They should have just held on. But I'm not sure. I mean, at one point, is Kevin Durant even available? We don't really know. Like, for all we know, Joe Tsai is just going to keep them. In which case, you know, these other teams have to move on. And in the past, we've had seasons where we waited on LeBron. We waited on Kawhi. But in all cases, it was just the first 2 weeks of free agency. And then once that first domino goes, and it went within like the first week or two, everything then just explodes.
Yeah.
And this season, that first chip hasn't fallen. And, you know, it's just holding everything back to the point where your beloved Nets, God bless you, okay? Your beloved Nets. Is this the first team with three max players who don't want to play for the team? They have like $100 million committed to players that don't even, like, they're not even in Brooklyn for all we know. And the thing is, none of them can move because we're waiting on Kevin Durant. And without Kevin Durant move, you know, Kyrie's not moving and Ben Simmons is not moving. Because if you're able to convince KD, then you probably want to keep Kyrie and Ben Simmons, right?
Everything around Kevin Durant's trade request, like all those little details around where he wants to go and I don't know when he wants to go and like or if he doesn't get to go, will he retire? Like that's just rumors. But I'm just like thinking, what are the actual facts that we know? Like what are the things that we know for sure? Yeah, well, like what I don't know. Like it's I've gotten so lost in the actual like what's true and what's not.
Kevin Durant, I was going
to say. Can you do it without depressing me? Is that possible, you know? Like, cheer me up a little bit?
The actual fact, Kane, is the Brooklyn Knight is going to be your starting center. We're going to have to is he retired?
I think he retired after one season. He like scared children because he was like too scary of a mascot. He looked like the Dark Knight.
I thought it was kind of cool. They made a whole comic strip.
Because I thought it was cool, but yeah, for kids. Right. Kids were like scared of the Dark Knight.
Was he too scary for you? Did Brooklyn you write Knight. To Brooklyn? You wrote to the Nets? I need brighter colors.
They used to have a weasel or something. The New Jersey Nets used to have like a weasel or some kind of like raccoon or something as the mascot.
You mean garbage feeders?
Oh, they used to also be called the Swamp Dragons. They wanted to be called the Swamp Dragons as well.
What is the Brooklyn mascot right now? I don't think they have one anymore.
No, they do, for sure. I think it's like
it's Ben Simmons.
It's Ben Simmons. Yeah, sorry. No.
It's Ben Simmons as Gucci on the bench, right?
In his colorful. On the colorful, yeah. That's why he's like dressed different. I don't know.
Or maybe they don't have one. I don't think they need one. Look, what is the reality? The reality is there's a rich person staring contest happening right now between Joe Tsai and Kevin Durant. I don't think it's going to end well for KD.
KD has no leverage, is what you're saying?
He has no leverage because, one, he's got 4 more years left on that contract. And, two, he's 34 years old. At least he will be at the beginning of the season. So Joe Tsai could literally just basically waste the rest of Kevin Durant's career as we know it, right? Obviously, he can play after 38, but he's not going to be the KD that we know. Thank God he won some championships with Golden State Warriors. Otherwise, this is, you know, this all-time one of the greatest players in history, I think, will be forgotten in 15 years' time after he retires.
This is like one of the greatest talents that in 15 years' time might just be an afterthought in terms of... Because he really has a chance if he wins another championship in Brooklyn or even in any other city. He really does have a chance to cement himself as a top 10 player. Because in terms of talent, I mean, you can talk about all the old players. You can talk about all the old players, Charles Barkley, Dennis Rodman, I know Scottie Pippins. They're great players, the Hall of Fame players, the top 50 of all time. But talent-wise, none of them
not close, not even close.
Kevin Durant's skill, and the fact that okay, those guys aren't top 10, but you could argue that Kevin Durant belongs in the top 10 conversation purely on talent, not on accolades.
You know, your legacy is not cemented until you win, and you win consistently. And we know that because, well, sometimes we'll get a stat like, oh, did you know this Pete Maravich where, I don't know, like Tiny Archibald or some player that you have some faint recollection. Yeah. Did you know he scored like 30, he averaged like 38 points or he scored like 60 points? And it's like, whoa, we didn't know that. I didn't know that. Like, I don't know, Bob McAdoo or someone. You know, these are names that we kind of are familiar, but they're not in... They're not in that tier where we talk about Kareem, we're talking about Bill Russell, right? Because ultimately, those players never won. And, you know, they just kind of end up becoming like lost in the stats, right? They come up when we talk about stats in the future. But they're never talked about as one of the greatest, as a benchmark for greatness.
I guess I didn't even consider that. I just mean like, say like a Bob Cousy who won MVP and I assume won multiple championships as a member of the Boston Celtics. It's just like, you can't compare like someone playing in the 50s to Kevin Durant, who is today, like, currently a top two, top three player in the league. Like, the difference in basketball ability is off the charts. Like, I could probably play with Bob Cousy, you know, in, maybe not, but you know what I mean? Like, you get my point, right? Like, we're just so advanced as human civilization that the best of the best athletes are going to kill the best of the best athletes 60, 70 years ago. It's not going to be close. It's like Kevin Durant, the further we get away from it, Kevin Durant is, who is mind-blowingly such an amazing player, is just going to be buried in the past, like a Bob Cousy situation. Bob Cousy in his time was amazing, but he's not going to touch Wilt Chamberlain's legacy, or he's not going to, like you said, Kareem's legacy, or Michael Jordan's legacy. As we go on, years, decades into the future, Kevin Durant would just be a footnote in this 10s, 20s era of basketball. And I think that's the harm to his legacy by him demanding a trade, him signing the four-year contract that has no, like, that just basically gives no leverage, and Joe Tsai, who can just hold him hostage and say, hey, okay, if you don't want to play for us, then just go ahead and retire, because we got your rights for the next 4 years. Like, you signed with us. You signed with us thinking that we're a team that can win a championship with you fully committed. And your commitment showed that to the rest of the teammates that you're there, so then we'll be able to get other free agents and other basketball talents onto this team because they want to play with you, Kevin Durant. Him asking to leave because they had a bad season last year, that was partially his fault. It's not a great look. And I think he's lost a lot of fans. Not me. Like, I'm still a fan. Like, I want to see the best of him, and I also want to see him the best of him in Brooklyn. But I know that could be a pipe dream. Because come training camp, when they're reporting to Brooklyn and they're, you know, they're doing the things with the teams and they're doing those team events that they're meant to be doing in Brooklyn, and he's nowhere to be seen.
He's not going
to
be there.
All of these stories, all of these media reports, like, where's Kevin Durant? I don't think he will be either. But I can just imagine right now we're in a lull where we're not talking about it because there's nothing to report on. But when basketball, like, you know, mandatory basketball camp resumes and Kevin Durant's MIA, nowhere to be seen, that's when his legacy is going to drop. Like, it's unfortunate, but, like, yeah, it's going to affect his, not only his trade value, but just the way people look at his career, like, even more. This guy that quit on OKC, left OKC to the team that beat him when they're up 3-1. The team that rode on Steph Curry's coattails to two finals wins and one finals MVP too, because he's a better player. But he only did it with Steph Curry. And now a dude that in three seasons has only won one playoff win.
Four games. That's all they've won in 3 years.
What do you mean, four games? Wait. They've won more than
four
games.
Yeah, they won one series.
They won 4-1 series. They got swept by the Raptors as well. Was it the first year Raptors or the Heat? They got swept by the Raptors. Second year, they lost by a toe, the size of a toe against the Bucks. I lost in, like, overtime. What a game. And then they got swept by the Celtics. Yeah.
Good job, KD. Good job. I'm surprised to hear that you're still on the KD bandwagon.
I am, because I don't have a choice. Ooh, what do you mean? I'm a Nets fan. It's like, if...
That's exactly it. Because I'm a LeBron fan. I follow wherever LeBron goes. So if LeBron disses Lakers, I don't care about the Lakers. They could go to the G League for all I care. I follow LeBron, the king. But you're a Nets fan. You're right. The opposite of right. me. You're the Nets fan. And the fact that KD is doing this to our Nets, the team above the player is what I thought you'd be.
I am. It hurts me. No, I'm definitely a Nets fan. And that's why I want to see Kevin Durant make peace with the Nets and come back with the Nets, because ultimately the best chance for the Nets to win is with Kevin Durant. There's just no doubt about it. I know that might be a fantasy that he will just suddenly say, hey, okay, we're cool. Like, hey, you bought my bluff. I'm back in. I know that's like a fantasy.
Has he ever been on record saying he wants to trade it? Like, he hasn't really. He hasn't.
It's obvious. He doesn't have to say it out loud. His camp says it for him. His camp is the one that will be able to, like...
But I'm saying, if he has to backtrack, like, what's the way to do it? Can he say he was hacked? Like, or he doesn't have to say anything.
It doesn't matter. The camp has publicly said he wants to be traded, so... I know what he's saying, like... But he's been on Twitter so many times, replying to people saying like, hey, like, why you want to be traded?
Trade me, help.
and he doesn't say explicitly, but the fact that he doesn't refute it and the fact that he plays along with it just shows where he's at, like where his mind's at. He wants to be out. Very clearly, he wants to be out. There's no doubt about that. It's just a matter of what do we go from here? Who breaks first? Do the Nets and Sean Marks kind of take a bit less just to get rid of the headache, get rid of the cancer that could derail your entire season?
Well, that would be Kyrie Irving, but that would not be Kevin Durant.
So you think when the season starts, Kevin Durant's going to be back with the team and playing hard?
I think, I'm not saying that he would be there day one, but I just don't see any leverage from his perspective. Because the other thing that's going to happen is Josiah is just simply not going to pay Kevin Durant. So as Kevin Durant, not only will you be sitting next 4 years, you're not going to get a penny from the league or your team for sitting. Because what would be Kevin Durant's excuse at this point? And this will be a very poor precedent for the league to set. And I would imagine Josiah, with the support of other owners or governors, will be telling the league, this can't happen. We need to fine Kevin Durant. Or not only is he not going to get paid, he's going to be fined for doing this. Now, this has never happened, right? I don't think a commissioner has ever been tested like this. Obviously, with David Stern, I mean, this wouldn't happen at all. He'd probably bury Kevin Durant before he lets this happen. He literally said he knows where the... in negotiations, he told the players he knows where the bodies are buried because he put them there. God. Oh, God.
Yeah, David, yeah. You have some thoughts on that, though, huh? Like how Adam Silver's so pro-player friendly.
Adam Silver's been on this long honeymoon phase where he took over during the Donald Sterling drama, or shortly before that drama. Yeah. And it became really clear that he was different than David Stern. He was pro-players through and through. And it was such a refreshing and different take than David Stern that I think everyone praised Adam Silver. I did too.
I mean, also the NBA has shown under Adam Silver's direction is that they've been very innovative and super like liberal, which like aligns with my views, but everything they've done like around like the transgender bathrooms and equality with the WNBA.
Whoa, the transgender bathroom. And where? In the NBA?
Yeah, remember Charlotte passed a bill not allowing transgender people to pick which bathroom?
Jesus Christ.
Like,
oh my God.
Dude.
I don't support that.
They had like a... You don't support that?
Okay, this might be an offline discussion. If you have a penis, you can't go to the women's bathroom, can you?
No. It's more like if you identify as one, then... You go into that bathroom sort of thing. You don't just pick and choose. We're like, I feel like on Monday I'm gonna go.
No. We can't be doing that.
Well, it's like gender, right? Gender's not binary.
Okay, we might have to talk about this offline. Look, I don't know. I feel like do you have a penis or not?
Well, so yes, you can be born as a man, but what if you feel like later in your life that you don't identify as a man?
Well, that's fine. You can do that, but stay away from the women's bathroom.
Yeah. So for like forever, even though you've got a sex change and everything.
Well, are you a dude or aren't you? Like, you have a dick? If you have a dick, you can't be in the women's bathroom.
Well, you're not like...
Pretty simple.
You don't have a dick. You have a vagina.
Wait, okay. You're born a man and then you got an operation and now you don't have... Okay, yeah. Then you can go to the women's bathroom. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they look like a woman, they identify as a woman, but they're born a man, but they're forced to go use the men's bathroom still, sort of thing. or vice versa.
Okay, I understand now. I agree.
But they were forced to go to the bathroom based on the birth that they're assigned, based on the gender they were assigned at birth. So Charlotte had passed a bill saying you have to go to, based on your assigned gender at birth. And so remember, Charlotte had the All-Star game that year and the NBA made the stance. Mm. I don't know why you missed this. This was a big political
issue. No, I remember this. They moved it, didn't they?
And they moved the All-Star game from Charlotte to punish the city of the state, I suppose, North Carolina, I think. They punished that state. And Michael Jordan was a bit upset, but ultimately understood why they did that. And they moved it. I forgot where they moved it to. They moved it. And that was a big sign. And also another one, when Daryl Morey tweeted Free Hong Kong.
Josiah did not like that.
Very pro-Hong Kong. And yes, Josiah made a Facebook post talking about Chinese sovereignty.
It was an essay. I think it was a short story.
Yeah, it was a very long essay. Anyway, we don't have to get into that. We don't have to say what our views are and whatever, but it's very obvious that the NBA supports or has supported Adam Silver on this crusade and the political position that they've, and Black Lives Matter too, and recognizing that the majority of the league are black people. And I mean, you can talk about what the efforts are, but the fact that they're allowing the players to have a voice in things that they deeply care about, like Black Lives Matter, it shows like Adam Silver cares and he wants to look after the players. Fashion, Adam Silver has let players dress however they want, but in the David Stern era, they had to wear suits.
Russell Westbrook literally cosplaying to the games. It's dressed like Ninja Turtle.
I mean, yeah, it's a huge fashion show when they walk down the tunnel to the locker room. Kyle Kuzma wearing this.
Ben Simmons is dressed as a traffic light. It's very bright.
It's good. A woolly traffic.
That's why you have to wear shades at night. Indoors.
That's why the whole.
Congratulations, Kang. Ben Simmons.
He's trying to distract the other team.
Melbourne's finest.
So I mean, I can see how the honeymoon has extended to this far because he's had his way. But I can also see now how it's affected teams by empowering the players to such an extent where they're demanding out and the breaking contracts. And I'm not too sure what he could have done different. That's all. I don't know the nuances that what he could have done, except for being a bit more strict, I suppose. But
it's a balance, right? And it was so refreshing that he was able to do all the things that you said he was doing, that you just summarized there. And through all that, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. But unbeknownst to me, and no one really appreciated it, it changed the culture of the league in some ways. We're in the so-called player empowerment era, and that's great. But in the last 2 years, I'd say sort of the ugly side of that empowerment has shown, which is that players now are basically overruling the contract and the commitment that they've made to the point where, what's the purpose of a contract if you have 4 years left and you refuse to basically play, and then you also expect your team to trade you to exactly where you want to go?
And two of those players on the Brooklyn Nets.
Two of the players at three, how about three? Ben Simmons, or what does he want to do? I think he just wants to get paid and not play basketball.
Well, I was talking about Ben Simmons and Kevin Durant, not Kyrie Irving.
Well, let me jog your memory. This summer, Kyrie Irving wanted in his contract for a guarantee.
He didn't want to get the shot. I don't understand why he defaulted.
He said he doesn't want to play after his birthday in March.
Yeah, that's okay. Who doesn't want time off after the birthday? It's normal.
60 games max. That's what he wanted on his contract.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can push to get paid the same and work less, who wouldn't want to do that?
Okay, I'm sorry. Kyrie also said that back-to-back games are inhumane.
Yeah, they are. Like, have you seen, have you, like, look at what happened to Brandon Roy and John Wall. Oh,
I remember when David Stern was forcing players to play like 3 games in 3 nights during the lockout seasons. Like, there was like 3 games in 3 nights.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, I'm just saying that something as amazing has happened in the last year or two, where now the players are invalidating long-term contract to the point where now, as an owner, you take on all the risk, right? You have to give out these guaranteed contracts, but then at the same time, there's no guarantee that these players would actually want to play with you. And beyond that...
Well, so what, though? Like, who cares? Well, so what from the... Like, I get it from a fan's perspective, but I don't like this argument, like, our owners have to cop all the accountability, or, like, they have to cop all the risk involved. Yeah, like, you're owning an NBA team that generally makes millions of hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, boo-hoo.
That's the thing that I don't think fans are appreciating right now. They think it's like, so what if the players have more power? So what if the owners don't have that power? Mm. But see, these owners, minus maybe the guy in Sacramento, Vivek, and maybe a few others, these owners aren't dummies. What it means is that in the future, the next round of CBA negotiations, those contracts aren't going to be there anymore. Guaranteed contracts would have lost their value to the owners now, because there's no guarantee that the players would stay. In other words, it would pervert the contracts and probably involve those contracts get a lot more insurance written in those contracts, that you must play X number of games, etc., etc. And that therefore creates much more potentially restrictive contracts. We've already seen this summer the contract that New Orleans gave Zion. Apparently, this is a rumor, but apparently there's like a weight clause in there that Zion has to be under, I don't know what it is, like 290 pounds or 280 pounds or something like that.
Hmm.
I mean, there has been contracts like that in the past where you have to play X number of games, but mostly they were around bonuses, right? If you make it to an All-Star game, you get a bonus. If you make the second round, if you get championship, all-NBA, then you get bonuses. But now we're seeing contracts where the disclaimers is about what the players need to do to unlock the contract rather than a bonus to their contract.
I feel like you're an idiot. No, I feel like you're just picking...
You calm down. Just because I defended Josiah.
I feel like... Stop defending the owners. I feel like this is just like you're picking the troubling ones, as opposed to like, okay, what think about all the players that don't have any restrictions and get the full guaranteed contract, and they're more than happy to give the full guaranteed contract to the players. I mean, you said idiots like Vivek, but Robert Sarver is an idiot. And even an idiot knew that he should just give Devin Booker the full max deal without any restrictions. Look at Doncic, what Mark Cuban did with Luka Doncic, Trae Young, LeBron. Obviously, we can talk about that in a second. Like, these owners, at the end of the day, are still more than willing to throw massive, massive guaranteed contracts, fully guaranteed contracts, to the star players. And those other examples, like Zion, yes, has some question marks, like KD, that previously didn't have question marks until recently, and he's one of the top
James
players.
James Harden, so Ben Simmons,
he affords Kyrie the opportunity. Irving. James Harden didn't have it. James Harden didn't have it until this last season.
But I'm saying the James Harden episode. This guy's been on 3 teams in 3 years. He's just like refuses to play.
Okay. Well, Devin Booker has been playing for a bad team the majority of his career. Is only until recently that he's now on a contender, but he's never made it. Like, why don't we talk about Devin Booker being an example of the majority of players that want to create a great product for the NBA? And the NBA is also a growing market. It's something that's only going to go up. Owners aren't going to say, oh, I don't know, I'm not going to buy an NBA team because, oh, the players have too much power. That would never be a conversation.
It's not about not buying. You would still want the asset, but I'm saying it affects the price. It affects the price. It affects the type of contracts they're willing to give. Because you have to consider these things I didn't have to consider in the past. And what I said is that this is going down slippery slope. I didn't say we're down on the bottom, right? That this is like not
I get that.
Tenable anymore. I'm saying going down this path, because we've only seen this type of behavior in the past, let's say, two seasons, right?
Well, I'm sure it was lots of Dennis Rodman probably had, like, you can only go to Las Vegas once a season. Charles Barkley probably had a weight clause. Like, I'm sure it happened a lot of times.
But not to the not to Kevin Durant's extent. Not having a player of Kevin Durant's.
Didn't Scottie Pippen get like surgery so he, like to avoid playing?
Okay,
or something Scottie like
Pippen
that?
Was getting $1 million a season for like 7 years. He signed like a $7 million contract.
Well, he's the idiot. He admitted he was an idiot for signing that. That's his fault.
Oh my god, look, I'm not gonna hate on,
but wouldn't you want Scottie Pippen, now that he made a bad deal, like his agent made a bad deal on his behalf, wouldn't you want him to hold out in a more productive ways than just getting surgery, opting for surgery? Like, that's not fair.
That was totally unfair, right? Because the context there was that he's on 7 years and he was getting $1 million. The context has now totally flipped the other side. When Kevin Durant is making $200 million and 1 year into his...
The owner is making more than that, though.
Well, how much money is the owner going to make when they're paying $200 million for three players that don't play?
But this is just a short time. Like, this is the risk you take when you're going into luxury tax to pay... players of this caliber, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Not every team has that ability, that, you know, the chance to do that. Like, every team would love to do that if they knew that all the players were committing. But this is the risk. Like, players have their own personality where they can be divas and go away from the team. It happens. Like, it's like you can't just set this precedent now. Like, oh, players are having too much power, so we need to start in the next CBA to start to negotiate less guarantees or, you know, partial guarantees now because we can't trust the players.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, for sure, owners can ask for that. But what I'm saying is, in my opinion, that that's not fair because the majority of players are pretty cognizant that they want to do right by the fans. They want to create a good product. They know it's a growing league and that they want to be the face of it. And they won't be the face of it if they turn their back on the fans. That's like... it's pretty plain and clear to see. But of course, the owners are greedy. They want the most money. They want the large piece of the pie still. They want to milk the players as much as possible and see our ROI. But it's not always going to work like that. There's going to be times like in, you know, like Joe Tsai knows this. He turned his back on his homeland, Taiwan, to sell his soul. Like,
here
and
we
now
go.
It's backfiring. Like, it happens. Like, you can't all be winners, right? Like, he gets $1 billion and... you know, he doesn't have a soul. Like, it happens.
Look,
you know?
It's a fourth rail issue for him, okay? Calm down. it's a fourth rail issue. Apparently, it was a third rail issue. Apparently, a fourth rail issue is not defending his front office and coach. We'll talk about that a little later.
Well, I think that's pretty first rail now.
I'm just saying that... it's a bit unknown, should this continue? Should Adam Silver not take a stand, not put his foot down? I'm saying we're venturing into the unknown. I'm not saying in 5 years' time that these contracts will totally be different. What I'm saying is that we could have some very nasty negotiations and then potentially a lockout.
But that's fine. That's fine. That happens. Lockouts have happened in the past. It's okay to be contentious.
Sure, but what I'm saying is, wouldn't it be nicer if we have a set of rules where you have to honor the contract? If you sign 4 years, then you should commit 4 years. If you feel like you can't do that, then you should sign for a shorter term contract. Wouldn't that be nicer?
Of course, I 100% agree with that.
So let's have that system.
You're singling out only like a handful of players, like less than a handful of players that are willing to do that.
I'm just singling out the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
They love those players. They love those players. It's like, we have them all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, why should you, harm the entire league and all the player contracts just because of the Brooklyn Nets?
I would not be surprised if Adam Silver finally has now feels the pressure. Look, given Adam Silver left to his own devices, who knows? Like, Adam Silver would probably be fucking massaging, sucking Kyrie's dick right now. Who knows, okay? Who knows?
Relax.
But he works for the owners.
Are you coming back now, Kyrie?
Oh, my God.
Are you going to come back now? Are you going to get the shot now? I'll give you the shot.
Gave Adam Silver the shot. It's his shot. Okay, relax. Okay.
God. What have we become?
I don't know. Okay. What was I saying? Yeah, left to his own devices, Adam Silver would be very pro player. What I'm saying is I feel like he's going to be reined in. The owners are going to demand more from Adam Silver now. And Joe Tsai is no pushover, okay? You don't randomly become, like, I don't know, worth $40 billion doing business in China by being soft. It's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, of course. Look, I think the owners were smart playing this so far. Like you said, it was Adam Silver's honeymoon. They not only let him, but they encouraged him to, take on policies that maybe they didn't believe in, like if they were Republican or, you know, had conservative ideologies, didn't vibe with them, but they let Silver go do his thing. And now that it's the time to pay the piper, whatever the saying is, it's CBA negotiation time. Now they're asking for the favor. Now they're like, look, Adam Silver, we let you do all this shit. We let the players run amok. Now we need to ask you for a favor, kind of thing like that. I can sort of see that happening. And Silver saying, like, kind of has played all his cards. Like, he was saying, oh, this issue is really important for me. This issue is really important for me. And from, like, ethical point of view, he was right to do that. But now that is a situation where he wants to protect the players, like you said. He wants to do the right thing by the players. But he's lost all leverage at this point because he's done so much already against the owner's wishes, perhaps. Then now we're in the situation now where Adam Silver has to, like, kind of kowtow to what the owners want to do more so. But at the end of the day, it's not Adam Silver's, like, he's not a dictator to this. Like, there's a whole process. There's arbitrators, there's lawyers from both sides of the players association and the owners representation. It's very, very, like, it's very hard to just, like, get away with everything you want.
Well, let me ask you this. As a Brooklyn Nets fan, would you... I'm talking about the real Brooklyn Nets, not the cosplay Brooklyn Nets that you follow.
Oh, yeah. Ben Simmons has won five Defensive Player of the Years. He's four-time MVP.
NBA 2K.
We traded. I forgot who we traded for, but we traded for Shaedon Sharpe, who's a rookie this year. He's now, like, been on the Nets for 7 years, and he's really good. He's really good for us. Like, he's dunking everywhere. And who else we get? Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, you traded KD. You did trade KD.
I traded KD for Scotty Barnes. The Raptors didn't want to do it, actually. They're like, no, Scotty Barnes is out of bounds. But
you forced them to trade.
And I also, not only did I trade Kevin Durant, I also, like, I gave them two unprotected future first round picks.
Oh, God. Well, who's on the other side? Why would the computer let you do that?
I forgot who else I gave Kevin Durant. I gave Kevin Durant two first picks and some, probably, you know, just a buffer. And I got Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes.
And Scottie Barnes. Okay, I like that. Okay, forget your NBA 2K, okay? I'm talking about real.
Yeah, I stopped playing it.
I'm talking about the real world now, okay? So as a Nets fan, let me ask you this. You're so pro player. How would you feel if next season KD refuses to play, Kyrie refuses to play, and the Nets continue to have to pay both players?
Okay, well, firstly, I don't give a shit how much money they steal. They are basically stealing, but I don't care how much money they steal from Josai. Josai can be a penniless bum living in the streets of, like, a Uyghur concentration camp for all I care.
But not just about... That was very offensive. Not funny at all. I'm very offended. Those are not. It's education center. Okay, vocational schools. Let's get the terminology straight. Okay.
Sorry, I'm not a comedian. Yeah, just facts.
It's not about the money. It's about basically holding your team hostage, because it's not like you can find replacement players with those with, you know, additional money. You're locked into these players, and they're not playing, and you don't have access to that money to do something else with. So it's not about Joe Tsai's pocket. It's about you as a fan being trapped.
So what I say about that is, it's been fun.
It's been fun. God. Yeah, that one playoff series. Love it.
I mean, okay, as a Nets fan, I think as like any New York sports fan, this is what I've heard about other sport, like the Giants, the Jets.
I want a serious answer. This kind of, you said that's fun.
I'm serious. As a Nets fan, and yeah, Knicks as well. Like every Knicks franchise is cursed, basically. And as a Nets fan, this is like the best I could ask for. It's such a crazy story. It's such a crazy roller coaster ride. Everything that's happened to this team, this franchise, it's such a little the little train that couldn't sort of thing. Like it's like the underdog that, I don't know, just suddenly got over in his head and got like really big ideas and just started buying everything, and then imploded, and like got too close to the sun. I'm not saying it's been fun. I'm not saying like it's all been fun, but it's at least been very interesting. And okay, this is a bad example, but with the Bucks, right? The Bucks went all in. They got Tom Brady, and then immediately won the Super Bowl. And I was just so like flabbergasted that like that could ever happen. Like me being a lifelong fan. Because I kind of became a fan after they won the original Super Bowl. For 20 years, literally 20 years, they won nothing. They won one playoff game in 20 years, and yet I still supported them. And all of a sudden, they got Tom Brady and they won the Super Bowl. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, and then you even said, like, oh, you should stop being a fan. Like, you've paid your taxes, you've paid your due, you've reaped the rewards. Like, you should get out now and, like, you know, go out on a high sort of thing. But my fandom isn't, like, my experience as a fan hasn't been about necessarily all about just reaching the top. Of course I want to see them at the top, but I also want to experience the journey and like what the journey is like. And the like, even though we didn't win the championship in 2018, that journey of seeing that young team testing the Sixers was like, in that season, was so fun. Like it was an incredibly fun season. And that translated to giving Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, because they saw what the Nets are doing and they saw the culture that they created, and like yes, I want that. I want to be part that originally this, I thought, like, I want to be part of that. I'm going to set aside some ego. I'm going to bring Kyrie Irving. I'm going to bring on DeAndre Jordan. It's going to be a nice, like, quid pro quo sort of relationship. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. We're going to be cool. Okay. You give me superstar treatment, but I'm also going to give you a lot of respect sort of thing to the Nets organization. And I think everything was going to be kumbaya. And it seemed like kumbaya the first season when they were both injured, pretty much. They were at the Nets games, they were cheering on the sidelines. Kevin Durant's cheering on players that you probably never even heard of, but he was just being cool and cheering, and it seemed like all cool. And then the shit happened. Then, you know, we already talked about it.
Kenny Atkinson asked Kyrie Irving to run lap. That triggered him.
We don't have to talk about the last 2 years because, yeah, it hasn't been great. But that's what I'm saying. Like, my experience as a fan hasn't always been about, oh, we have to win the championship this year. My experience is just enjoying a team yearly and seeing what this story is going to become. And the story looks like it's going to become bad, but so what? It's been fun. Like I've had fun with Kevin Durant joining this Nets team. It never seemed like it was possible to happen, and yet it did.
Oh, God.
And maybe these are predictable results. Like these are the normal results, not that Tampa Bay, not that you get Tom Brady and you win a championship. That you actually get the Tom Brady in the NBA and you find some way to fuck it up. Like COVID happens. Like something inexplicable happens. Like that's what a normal like shit team's fan experience should be like. Something inexplicable happens that just blows up all your hopes and dreams. That's like actually normal. So yeah, I mean, I was blessed with the Bucks getting, you know, Tom Brady and winning Super Bowl, but with the Nets, you know, so what? Like, it was fun. Like, that's my honest answer. That's honestly how I feel. Like, I don't think I would trade it.
So you are okay with having basically a team in limbo for the next 4 years?
I did that before when that was even worse when every single draft pick was going to the Celtics. Oh, hey, Jason Tatum, go to the Celtics. Hey, Jalen Brown, Nets pick, go to the Celtics.
Well, it's not like you have any draft picks.
Well, not now, I guess.
That's good. That's good for you, Kane. So when you get your draft picks back in like 2029, then the good time can start again, right? That's when you can put down NBA 2K and get back to the real basketball. I don't know how to respond to that.
But you're not a fan. But you abandon your team very early into your fan experience.
I pick the winners. It's called China.
I mean, it's easy. It's easy to pick winners. It's easy to pick winners. Like it's character when you can stick with the people that like with the teams that goes through the lows and goes through the highs. That's like actual character, not you that just like abandons your team just because they lose a couple of finals.
I totally agree with you that it's about the journey, but I think it's about the journey if you have a team like the 2017 Nets, the one with D'Lo and 2018 Nets. Then you can be on the journey and it doesn't really matter if they win or lose. You can still enjoy the journey.
I don't get to pick the journey.
No, but right now it's not even a journey. Like I said, this is fucking limbo. This is like coma. Right. Your team's in coma for the next 5 years.
But then when we wake up from the coma, we're like a beautiful butterfly and we can fly again.
Wait, no, you would have nothing. You would end up with like one, you would have one first round pick. That's what happens the first year you wake up from a coma. One pick.
And then we rebuild. Then we get the next Joe Harris. Then we trade for the next D'Lo.
Can you imagine if you're, let's say, 12 years old right now, as a Nets fan?
Well, if you're 12, you can change still. You're too young to care that much.
Your formative years are wasted because the Nets are basically not an NBA team.
Well, most young people would probably choose the Warriors then, or the like Miami Heat.
I don't like this. I don't like this setup. I think Adam Silver needs to be a little bit more aggressive in this instance.
But why? Just on the basis of like a few players that they're not honoring.
I care about the Nets fans, unlike you. You're like...
I speak for the Nets. Okay. I speak for the Nets fans. I speak for the Nets fans. I'm telling you, this is what Nets fans feel like. This is what they want.
Tell me the truth. You go on the Nets Reddit forums. This is what they're talking about. This is what they want.
Okay.
They want KD...
I mean, it's varied. Yeah, well, yeah, we can get KD or we trade KD for Scotty Barnes.
No, those are two different things. Are two different things. Trading KD for Brandon Ingram or a Scotty Barnes is totally different than okay with KD sitting on the bench while we pay them, while we pay him max contract.
I mean, you asked me how I feel about that and I'm just giving a holistic answer. But like realistically, what's going to happen is 2 months max, at some point there's going to be a breaking point where Kevin Durant says, okay, I'm going to play, or because like you said, they're going to be holding his money in escrow, or they finally, the Nets management, Joe Tsai says, fuck it, just trade this asshole.
Right.
Like it's not going to go 4 years deep and like, hey, you know, Kevin Durant's just been sitting on the bench like the past 4 years. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, basically, and who knows? An injury might happen. Zion gets, like, comes to camp, like, 60 pounds overweight. I don't know. Like, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby make a public trade request. Like, things can happen, like, up until trade deadline, which is still, like, what is it? Like, 8 months away. So who knows? And also, the Nets might start 10-0 with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's like, okay, actually, I really like it here.
I think it's safe to say that there's going to be no movement before training camp. And it's possible that KD gets moved, like won't report to the team, sits out, won't take a paycheck or get fined until the trade deadline. But I do think that at some point...
I don't think it will last to trade deadline.
I agree with you. I think at some point there will be a move, but it's not going to be on KD's terms. I just don't see... Look, if you're okay with this, then Joe Tsai might be okay with this.
I'm still holding out. Like, I'm still holding out that he changes his mind. Like, I know that's unlikely, but that's what I'm hoping for.
So if he changes his mind, is Kyrie there? Is Kyrie going to be there? Like, I feel like someone's got to move.
Not necessarily. Kyrie's back for one more season. He can just play out the season. Or not. Like, at this point, Kyrie is a total enigma. He can come back and play one more season. Or I just feel like if Joe... I know Joe had a meeting with Kevin Durant in London, saying, like, just asking him to clarify again, like, are you sure you want a trade request? Yeah. And yes, KD did reiterate, yes, I want to be... traded, but this is like in the summertime when you know your feelings might not be as strong, but nothing has changed your mind because nothing has happened. No basketball has been played yet to change your mind yet. I just feel like when basketball is played, that is when stuff can happen. Injuries, Nets are doing well, Nets are doing bad, things can change. But if they can put it together for one season, if Kevin Durant's like, fuck it, okay, I'll give you one more year and then please trade me, or Kyrie Irving's like, I'll give you 1 year and then I'm not signing back. I'm definitely leaving. Like, I'm a free agent after this season anyway, so don't even contact me.
What do you mean? Like, they can't wait if Kyrie, like, left. I mean, the Nets aren't looking to bring Kyrie back. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I'm just saying, yeah, they're like, yeah, whatever.
I think they already bought the
Kyrie's
ticket.
Kyrie's gone. Kevin Durant is... Well, the Lakers offered 2 unprotected picks and they rejected
that's
that.
That's weird. I feel like that's weird because those picks are very valuable. The Lakers are going to suck.
I think, personally, I probably would have accepted that trade. But it just shows the position. Because Kyrie Irving and KD, I guess, are still mates. And trading Kyrie is probably some admission that the Nets are willing to sell the farm, sort of thing. Like, you give me a good enough trade package and... will accept it, sort of thing. No one's given them acceptable trade package yet. That's why KD's not gone. But give me acceptable one, then maybe. But by keeping Kyrie, like, holding firm, that saying like, oh, we're not looking for future picks. We're trying to win now. I think that might reinforce this idea. Like, hey, just give me one more year, guys. Like, this is Sean. This is Joe Tsai talking. Give me one more year. You guys have done nothing. You guys only won me 7 games in 3, like 7 playoff games. In 3 years, in 3 postseasons.
Apparently the fans love it. Kane says loves it.
The Miami Heat have like one more in like one season than the Nets have done in 3 years with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And maybe they just say, look, just give me one more year. You owe me that much. I've paid you hundreds of millions of dollars to this point. Like, please, just this one season. Ben Simmons is healthy. Like, maybe they see Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is fucking... like, he's old Ben Simmons. He's running fast breaks and dunking it, like, from the free throw line.
Old Ben Simmons. Overrated locker room poison.
No. I mean, the Ben Simmons, like, gets his confidence back because he's getting the rebound. He's grabbing it. He's grabbing the rebound. And he's looking at the options he has. Like, these 4 guys along the perimeter. He's got Joe Harris in one corner, Kevin Durant in the other corner, Kyrie Irving, Seth Curry. All 3-point snipers are just sitting around him, drawing all the defense to the perimeter. And Ben Simmons is just going mono-a-mono to the point guard, this like 6'2" point guard that he's going up against. And he's just running past him and dunking on his ass. This is the beautiful fantasy Nets fans can cling on to if everyone opts in. Also, I don't know who said this, but people are saying like, this is the best Nets team in the history.
I have heard, well, not history, but...
Someone said that.
But Brian Windhorst, Wendy said that.
Was it not history?
Not history. The best...
Kevin Durant's best team. Which is a bit weird. Like, hard to beat the Warriors, right?
Well, his best team that he's had in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. Well, obviously, yeah.
You know, not name recognition, not about how many All-Stars, former All-Stars, but just...
Yeah, this is the best, like, basketball making sense construction team. Yeah, I gotcha.
And assuming that they still have... Everyone's healthy. Assuming also that Ben Simmons plays, assuming that Kyrie Irving also plays. Like, if KD decided that he was going to recommit with this team, this is a more solid, more rounded, a deeper roster than he's had in the previous years. And mostly, I think it has to do with the defensive players they added, including Ben Simmons, right?
Ben Simmons, Royce O'Neal, I don't know TJ Warren's defensive abilities, but he was a great scorer.
Bubble MVP.
20 point scorer. Let's not calm down. Like, he had a great series, but they did lose that series. Let's calm down. Like,
I'm trying to talk up your team, man. I'm trying to hype up your team.
I'm just saying, like, he's a 20 point scorer, 25 point per scorer. That's really good in the NBA. Let's not say he's not the MVP.
I mean, sorry if I don't rate Bruce Brown. Okay, stealing the ball from KD.
Bruce Brown isn't on the team anymore. He's with the Nuggets now.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather have TJ Warren. Sorry if I don't need Bruce Brown to take the last shot in the game. Okay. KD, let's extend the series. KD, let's extend the series. Let's go 7 on the Bucks. Okay, give me the ball. Give me the ball now. My time. My turn.
I mean, Kevin Durant was so tired that he airballed his last shot. And no one can blame him for airballing that shot, because he literally played every single minute for like the last 4 games of that series.
Look, I don't know how I feel about KD anymore, but I'm not going to put the blame on what happened the performance in the playoffs against the Celtics on KD. I feel like for the last 6 weeks of the regular season, KD had to play 40 plus minutes a game for like 6 weeks straight in order to just for the Nets to make to the playoffs or get a proper like playoff seeding. And then in the playoffs, when you literally have all the players lock up on you, and I'm talking about, you know, whether it's Jaylen Brown, whether it's Jason Tatum, whether it's Marcus Smart, whether it's the other guy, Grant Williams, assistant coach.
Well, you played really well, actually, against the Nets.
When all those players are locked in on you, yeah, I'm going to get tired. Guess what? I'm going to get tired. So I don't put it on KD.
Yeah, I don't put it on KD either, but
I mean, I totally put it on KD for his behavior afterwards, the fact that he wants to trade and all that,
the fact that he
says that he doesn't believe in Sean Marks, the fact that he doesn't believe in Steve Nash, all that on KD. But I'm not going to put the performance, like, you know, because some people say KD, like, he didn't show up. I don't think that's true. I think he did what he can, right? Mm. And I've seen that happen with LeBron as well. Yeah. You run out of gas. Guess what? That's what happens when, you know, you don't have proper team.
He wasn't great either, though. He wasn't like Milwaukee Bucks Kevin Durant. Because if we had Milwaukee Bucks Kevin Durant, maybe we still lose, but it wouldn't be a sweep, that's for sure.
What was I saying? I lost my train of thought. It's not important. You take over.
I mean, we've been talking for a while. Maybe we can just talk about LeBron signing a 2-year deal.
Let's do this quickly. LeBron signing for 2 years means that once again the Lakers are championship favorites, because
let
me step that back a bit. I wouldn't say championship favorite.
Okay, good.
I would say that
dynasty favorites.
new dynasty. They're back in the game because now they can unlock those 2 first round picks. And I believe those 2 first-round picks are worth 4 first-round picks for a normal team, because those picks are going to be absolute gold. By that time, LeBron's going to be gone, and the Lakers are going to be a disaster. Anthony Davis is going to be either traded or sitting on the bench in street clothes, and those picks are going to be top 10. 2 top 10 picks is what those first-round picks are going to be.
Yeah.
So I think they're gold. That means that I think that they can land a Kyrie Irving with a combination of those picks, whether that's directly via a different, like a third team. So I think the Lakers are back in business.
Hey, if they do get, okay, this is bold because as a Nets fan, I know this to be too true, but if Kyrie Irving does lock in and he says, LeBron, I'm with you 100%, AD, let's do this, you, me, you, AD, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, these 3 guys all committed. Yes, they're championship favorites. No, sorry. They're in the contention.
Contenders.
Sure. They're one of the top 4 teams, I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely contenders. You know, you got the Warriors, you got the Celtics, you got the Bucks. Yeah. The Lakers up there for sure. I mean, this team didn't even make the playoffs last season. They didn't even make the play-in last season. Like, they were so pathetic. And I don't think you can blame LeBron. Like, definitely AD. needed to be better. He needed to stay healthy. He needs to do what he needs to do this offseason to make sure that he's on his street clothes more often than he's in an NBA uniform. But having said that, with Kyrie being a scorer, being a facilitator alongside LeBron, it just like it unlocks their team and like all in all sorts of ways. It just makes it will make them great. I think though, like what I don't understand is you got this season, right? And then you got next season, definitely. Because this season is his last year on his current deal, and the next year is the start of his new $97 million deal. That means he got 2 years to win a championship. Because after that, there's no sure thing that he opts into his contract. Because 2 seasons later, in 2024, if that's the year we're in, 2024 will be the year Bronny, his son, his firstborn son, will be eligible for the NBA draft. And let's say the Sacramento Kings draft Bronny James, because like, yes, fuck you. Bronny James is the 75th ranked player, but I don't give a shit. I'm picking him first because I want to see LeBron James in a Sacramento Kings uniform. That's how much Bronny James is worth. Like, that's how much the James name is worth to any team that needs like a boost in, you know, anything like ticket sales, just, you know, respect, whatever it is. Sacramento Kings being a perennial loser for so many years, they're just like, fuck it. We're drafting Bronny James number one overall, number two overall.
I think Luke Walton already tweeted at LeBron. Play it back.
And yeah, hey, you, me, Bronny. And then Dennis LeBron Schroeder. James is going to, LeBron James is going to join. Like it is what, he said this. He wants to play with his son. We know that for to be sure. And there's no chance he joins the Lakers. I just don't see it. You got 2 seasons basically. You trade for Kyrie. You got this season, next season to win a championship. LeBron's legacy will be fine. It's not tainted. I think it was great that he went to LA, like one of the storied franchises, and he won a championship with LA Lakers. That it's his legacy cemented for sure.
Yeah, of course. What do you mean?
But
his legacy.
No, I know. I'm just saying like he doesn't need. This is what I'm saying. He doesn't need to win another championship. But Kyrie does. And AD, I don't give a shit. But Kyrie does. Kyrie is one of the most talented players of all time. If he wins a second championship in LA, I think that does wonders to his like to his Hall of Fame candidacy. To me, he's a Hall of Famer, but I think in your opinion, you've also said in the past, like, the jury's out already. Like, he's not that... You've said that, literally, like, he's not that good.
No, I mean, I mean, everyone goes to the Hall of Fame, so I'm not denying that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I think he'll be.
Everyone goes.
I mean, unless he does.
He'll be in the Hall.
Unless he does some really weird stuff that prevents him from going to Hall of Fame. But obviously, I mean, also Hall of Fame is about popularity as well, right? You're trying to capture the zeitgeist of an era, and Kyrie.
What I'm saying is, like, if he wins a championship in LA, yeah, he's definitely in. Like, there's no debate about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. That's right. And yeah, like, I don't like Kyrie. He's one of the worst players, the worst things to happen to the NBA. But at the same time, I mean, I'm not denying his talent. I would love to see him reunite with LeBron. And, you know, this guy is proven locker room poison in every team in the league, except for LeBron James's team. Because LeBron, you need...
Even then, it was...
But I think he's learned, right? And, you know, and also given the context that he's going, that he would be going to the Lakers with, given the, you know, the ending with in Brooklyn. So I feel like Kyrie has no value to any legitimate, realistic, respectable team. But for the Lakers, he has tremendous value.
I think so. I think it makes sense. I mean, him just directly replacing Russell Westbrook just makes them 10 times better.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if you're Nets, I don't know why they haven't taken those two first picks. Maybe it hasn't been offered. Maybe it's just rumors.
I think it has been offered, but I think the Nets know that this won't change, that this deal will always be on the table. Like, they don't need to rush into accepting the deal.
Yeah, good point. Well, it might not always be on the table, because the other potential is that instead of this, for two first-round picks, the Lakers would get Buddy Hield and Miles Turner from the Pacers.
I heard that one, but I don't think that's worth it. I think they want Kyrie. And who knows, like, if Russell Westbrook is even worse next season, or he gets injured, then like,
what do you mean? He's gonna be out. He's gonna be off the team. He's not gonna be with the Lakers.
Well, they're gonna play. They're gonna play with. They're definitely gonna play him. He's on a max contract. They're definitely. Gonna
they're trying play to offload him. They're trying to offload him before February, I suspect, because.
Before February, but yeah, what I'm saying is the start of the season, he's gonna play. He's gonna be a starter. He's gonna be a starter for the Lakers for sure if he's still on the team. There's no doubt about that. It's just like, if he plays even worse this coming season, or he gets injured, that's when the Lakers are like, okay, fuck, like, we're trying to win a championship here. Like, can I have Kyrie now? Like, okay, we'll up the offer. Like, that could be a possibility.
Okay, listeners, that's all the show we have this week. Joe, please bring back the Brooklyn Knight. Give the Nets fans something to cheer for. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.